Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for this version of Raising Your Spirits, Tony Ginnis.
Just while we're getting ready, today's color, of course, is green. All right, so some of the crystals that you might have. One is called azurite. This is called azurite. It's a green, it's an intuitive sort of stone, helps with the your energies there. Adventurine is another nice stone, which is, I have a raw one, but you can get one that are polished as well. And there's also jade. Jade is a good one. And another one called prehnite. This is a very small, it's a, more of a healing stone. Not many people would have this one, but if you have anything green that way, even a plant, a green plant beside you, that would be good too, to bring in that energy. Recently, I saw an interview with Marvel Comics, one of the creative aspects of the movies. And at one point, this person was saying, you know, what we try and do with our movies is we try and bring the aspect of good and evil together. There are two entities, and it's the battle between good and evil. And right away, I've got spirit kind of kicked in and says, okay, we need to talk about this, because we talked about darkness last week regarding how to work with the dark in a balanced way. But we talked about how to work with various dark energies that are healthy, because not all of it makes fun of us and so on. There are some good stuff in there. We just wanted to highlight that. But when we talk about good and evil, that touches on another subject regarding duality. Now, I looked up the various definitions of what duality is, and polarity, which is just thinking of one thing. But duality says that it is the belief that there are two opposing entities or concepts that are in contrast with each other with opposite intentions or outcomes. The good wants everybody safe, and the evil, in this case of the Marvel Comics, it wanted to be able to just bring havoc to the city. Okay, in that example, polarity is the property of having poles or having a state of two opposing tendencies or intensities. In other words, a north and a south pole on the earth. It's still the earth, right? But there are opposite tendencies or intensities for both. If you're in the equator, that's about halfway. There's no like a second world where you've got one part of the world here and then there's a second one somewhere. It's in the same part of it, okay? When we look at what a good person is, just to give you some different intensities, when you're with light, when you're very close to light, you're going to be more apt to feel the following. You're going to be more kind, more generous, more compassionate, loving. And the spirit sees this as a very high intensity of good. We look at the other spectrum, which is, let's say, not so good. It would be things like being greedy or mean to people for no reason, angry, vengeful, spiteful, and only thinks of their own needs. Is a good person with a low intensity. We have been taught at the very beginning that there's this good and evil, and they are two separate. And whenever you separate anything, I mean, look what's happening to the world. I mean, when we separate people, we separate ethnic groups, separate vaccinated groups, and we start separating people, there's always turmoil. There always is, because there's that battle. And it is a concept, basically. So when we look at what it is that looks at the good in everything, this is where the term comes from. Everyone has some good in them. Have you ever heard people say that? You know, if someone's very mean at somebody, the comment would be, well, there's got to be some good in them somewhere, right? Or everyone has some good in them. And that is exactly what it is. It's all good. It's just that it has such low intensity that these other things are coming out. It's a little bit like being very close to a space heater. When you're very close, you feel the heat. That's very obvious. And the further away you go, it gets colder, not because you're getting colder. It's just that the intensity or the closeness of that heat is further away. And it's not like you're in a cold room or a hot room. It's just that we're further away from the source of that heat. So in other words, there's no source of evil, or there is no source of darkness. It is just a spectrum in light that you're just further away. And we're going to demonstrate this and talk about this a little bit in this time. When we came into this non-physical, some people think that we have to be totally enveloped in this white light. And I hear that from people that are just starting energy work. They're going through various things in their life, and they get to a point in their life where they want to become more connected to the earth, more connected to spirit, and whatever that means to them. And they have this idea that they have to rid themselves of everything they've learned, all the darker stuff, and they don't actually get rid of it. They just sort of bury it. And they want to bring in lots of light. They want to be light. And all spirit wants to remind you is, before you came into this world, this time-space world, you were light. You are 100% high vibrational light. You already had that. The reason we come in is so that we can experience the shades, so that you can still balance it. The whole point is not to become spiritual so much that you're like an angel. It's to have the balance so that you still bring, in this case, heaven to earth, but to the point where there's a balance. You're going to feel what it's like to have this darker, shaded energy and still be a good person. A lot of people have a confusion about that, and so Spirit wanted to bring that to light in that way. The whole idea is, how do we think that we're going to be a good person? How are we going to get those good thoughts on a regular basis with us? How are we going to think good thoughts all the time? In other words, when something is good, like an anniversary or a birthday, or you just got your degree or diploma, and it is a good time all around, the economy's good, it's easy to see that, yeah, that would be a good time. But when things aren't so, in the beginning, seems like it's good, like losing a job or being left from a relationship goes sour, or they move on or something, or whether you have to move to another city that you really don't want and it doesn't seem that good. But then after a while, you realize, oh, that's why that had to happen. It changes, doesn't it, if we just wait for the bad news, or what we call bad news. And there's a reason why something happens. We talked about this last week when we talked about the farmer, the Chinese farmer that had good news, bad news. And he kept saying, well, we'll see. You know, yes, we did lose a horse, but he came back the next day and brought two horses. So that's good news. But when we heard about it, it was bad news. So it's that knee-jerk reaction that we have right away that's in front of us that we say, this is good and this is bad. And that's what Spirit wants you to say, just hold on for a moment. What you see may not always be the same way after a while. So when people give up, it is usually because they are basing most of their decisions, most of their energy on what's in front of them. I mean, it's very difficult to be in a one-room apartment, or let's say you're in a rooming house and you're have that one room, and the house that you want isn't in front of you. You're not experiencing it. So you say, okay, I'm going to experience and try to visualize what it would be like to have a home. And so you visualize the backyard, and you do all those things that you see on social media. And right now, it's just saturated with this kind of thoughts and thinking because it gets a good post. But here's the thing. People have a hard time holding on to that. They can start with it like we are good starters. They could start visualizing. But then day in and day out, they just say, well, I still don't have the house. It's still not here. And they still look at their one-room apartment sort of thing. And the way the universe sees it is that, well, yes, you do have this one room apartment, but it is untidy. And it just seems like this one room is overwhelming for you. It's not cleaned. Let's say most times when we look at people that are very depressed, they're not taking care of their immediate environment, whatever that means, right? And so spirit sees that as, well, they don't want to give you 9 rooms in a house with a bathroom and then 3 bedrooms and a basement downstairs. That's going to be too overwhelming because you can't even manage one room. Same goes for a relationship. I'm alone. And all I could think about is I'm eating supper by myself. I'm sleeping by myself. I go walks by myself. I have to go on vacations by myself, and I'm alone. And so at the same time, then the universe looks at what you have in your closets, let's say, and you don't even have room to fit your own clothes. You have to jam your clothes in because all your closets are full. And the way the universe sees that as, well, you don't even have room for this new person because everything is full. So they don't want to overwhelm you. It just, nothing happens, right? Because you're not taking care of what's around you. As soon as we take care of our immediate environment, I can handle this. And as we always hear, the universe never gives you something that you can't handle. So if there are signs that you're struggling, they'll kind of wait until you can manage that and then go further and so on. That's how it usually works. But again, we didn't come into this reality just to get stuff done, like a checkbox. Okay, I had an issue with my dad. Okay, that's done. Had an issue with my mom. Okay, that's done. And it isn't about that. Because here's an example. If, let's say, you want to go on a vacation, and if you're thinking in duality, you're thinking, okay, I have to go to 10 cities around the world, and these are amazing cities. Then I go to Germany, then I'll go to Spain, and then I'll go to South Africa or something, and just do your route over 6 weeks and you come back home. A person that's thinking in duality, when we look upon it as a lifetime skill, is they'll say, well, if I'm going to go to 10 cities doing all these things and end up back at home, well, I'm at home now. Why leave? Right? But a person that's thinking polarity, they're thinking experiences. Well, wouldn't I want to go to all those countries and see their culture, try their food, you know, listen to their music, talk to the people. And it's all about experiences coming back. When you come back, it doesn't end. You just keep evolving. That's how a person that is thinking always singular is all about experiences and lessons. The person that thinks that is something good or it's bad will say that's a success. That's a failure. This is good. This is bad. And we could show so many ways that, okay, a good or a bad news turned out good. Oh, well, that just got lucky. In other words, it's always a coincidence. But a person that's polarity just sees everything in a circle. Whenever you start off, well, you come back to it and you just keep going. That's the essence of the infinity symbol. It just goes into a constant and it's infinite. It just never stops evolving. The other person that is looking at duality is looking, whatever I have in my hand is what I have now. So let's go back to the one room apartment. This is what I have. But what I really want is a home. Their whole focus at that point, in many ways, as they get further and further away from the light, is that I don't have a home. I want a home. So they're looking at everything in their life that is missing. I don't have a home. I don't have a relationship, or I don't have what it takes. Or maybe, and they're always looking at something missing. But the person that's looking at their own energies and of their polarity, this is what I have. Now, how can I build on what I have to make it more? I mean, if you give money to a trade stock person, a person that does stocks and bonds and so on, you could say to them, I'm going to maybe send you $10,000 and see how that grows, or I'm going to give you $100 right now. Which one is you going to be more excited about? the maybe 10,000 or the fact that he's going to have 100 to invest. And that's the way that we want to bring that in. What are you investing? Not what are you maybe potentially could invest. How much are you putting in? I'm putting in $100. Okay, that's what we have. So let's make this grow. And then when it grows, it'll be 200, then it'll be 500, and, you know, make this grow. And a lot of people kind of miss that because they're always looking at the stuff that is missing. Whenever you look at gratitude, gratitude breed other gratitude and makes things bigger. I really appreciate the fact that I have my one room apartment because I could be on the street, but I have this and I'm going to keep it so that it's clean, it's cheap, and I'll make things grow as I do it. And you're making it grow as you are looking at it. You can envision what you want, which is important, but don't live there. Don't say that this is what's missing in my life. This is all I need to make it work. When we look at health is a good example. There is no such thing as illness in energy. It's always healthy. You're always healthy. To get optimal health means that you have a high intensity. There's a high vibration of health. And as you start to look at your health, and maybe you don't like the way you look, maybe you might think, you think perceptive, that you might need to lose a few pounds, or that you're not running as much, or that you see people working out and you feel guilty because maybe you're not doing it. You feel guilty that maybe you're eating too much, or whatever the reasons are, all of that your body's listening to. And when we start to look at it more and more, that brings you further and away from your light. And what happens is, as you start to have that lower vibration, start to comment on yourself, criticize yourself, and you're hard on yourself, that's bringing you further away, and the intensity is lower. And when we get low energy, that low light, we start to have little things come up. Our soreness of our legs, the knees start crackling. They sound like bubble wrap when you get up or something. You just start to have illness only because the intensity is low. People say when we come in for sessions and so on, well, that's because I did that when I was young. I was very active when I was young. And that's true. But if you look at even some of the young people now, 14, 15, 16-year-olds, they're drinking these energy drinks like it's going out of style. So I know a person that's going through 4 energy drinks a day, and he's 15, because he says, without it, I have no energy. At 15. So it's not just age. There's something in whatever that person's doing, and it's only when we start assessing, what are you thinking? What is your average day? How are you thinking about yourself? We'll start to see, okay, this is where we need to make changes. It's always, let's get closer to this light, to this optimal idea. Enthusiasm, bring in some purpose of why you wake up in the morning. Is there a purpose of you waking up? And if there is, then you're close to that light. If you're getting up and just to see what the world is doing, and it doesn't matter whether it's 7 a.m. or 11 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't, not much is going on, then that's a low purpose. A person that has a purpose, they don't feel it's work. They don't even want to sleep because they feel that sleeping is a waste of time. It's almost like you have to have now other things in place to get them to rest. And sometimes these people could be in their seniors, 82 years old. This person still gets up at 5 a.m. and he just goes right through and he has an absolute blast all day. Yeah, I think he's on his 14th career, he says. It is all about bringing in that energy and bringing intensity up. When we look at depression, anxiety, it's the same thing. It is that still mental state that you're further away from the light, because when you feel that you don't have anything to live for, let's even go that far, it's just that you don't see what your worth is because there's no light. And as soon as we sort of turn up the dimmer switch, that's one technique that we usually introduce in one of our sessions, is there's an imaginary dimmer switch on the wall. And right now it's pretty low. And so we start to bring it up in a meditation, bring it up a little higher. And it could start off as, let's say, 8 watts, which is actually less than a nightlight. And then just bring it up a little bit. Now it's up to 25 watts. Now it's about a nightlight sort of intensity. Then bring it up to the full, which is, let's say, 1,000 watts. But you have to do it gradually, because what happens at 3 a.m. when it's pitch dark in your bedroom and somebody shines a 1,000 light bulb in your face? It's anger. You know what? Because the leap is too much. So it has to be a dimmer. So it gets up smaller and smaller increments in terms of intensity. You got to do it gentle, especially for people that's not used to light. They're not used to loving themselves. They don't even see the purpose of loving themselves. Here's one technique you could do so that you could resist the duality thinking. You want to stay away from what's right and wrong. So here's one thing that you could do. The next time you get into a situation where it's a surprise, like, Dad, we're getting married, or I'm quitting school, you know, something that would normally jolt your life. Most people will have a knee-jerk reaction to it. Oh, no, you got to go to school. You don't even think about it. You don't even feel it. You just react. And so Spirit says, if you're reacting that quickly to whatever news it is, whatever that's happening in a situation, you're living in the past. That means your past is a habit. And you've always had a certain definition of the way life should be, perhaps. And if it doesn't go that way, you react. Okay, that's in the past. So what they're saying and what they're suggesting is that pause for a few moments. 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004. And in those moments, how does it feel? The first thing you get is that really big jolt. And the next thing you get is when Spirit comes in, and that's your insight kicking in. He says, okay, let's talk about this. It's the pauses. And you don't even have to think about anything in those pauses. Just pause. The act of silence, the act of pausing, is an art. And do it for at least 4 seconds. Okay? And then how do you feel about what you just heard or what the situation is? Honey, we just got a bill from our phone company and it's over $2,500. Just pause. The first thing you'd want to do is say, what? Who has been on the phone for 5 weeks straight? But then you'll say, okay, well, let's look into it. Maybe it's a mistake. Maybe it's just something. We'll see what's going on. I know people that do that. They're very collected and they have control of the present and the future. When you pause for those 4 seconds, and it's as simple as that, that's one way to really dramatically get out of that deep ingrained way that we've been doing things. This is right, that's wrong, and so on. The other thing about it is duality about love. This is a big one for a lot of people. We love other people very much, our families and so on. And one of the reasons, again, why we come in to this reality is when we love something, we send it love. We can also experience love. But what happens, where the trap is we think that we have to give love and we have to receive love to feel whole. I mean, that's the balance. That's what they're saying, is that if a lot of people appreciate you, if you were picked up as a baby and always snuggled and people always told you you were great and loving, that helps. However, it still doesn't address a lot of things, because we were sent here to be yourself and to give love. That's it. Receiving love, it's nice when you can receive love, but if you don't receive love, a lot of people are totally out of balance because they think somebody should have said, I love you. And I'll give you the most extreme cases where that was given. The situation with Marilyn Monroe. At one point when she was on this earth, everybody on the planet, every man anyway on the planet, was just wanted this lady, wanted to be with her, take her picture, wanted to be associated with Marilyn Monroe. And there's so many outpouring of love shown to her, yet she still died alone. She still felt alone, that nobody loved her. Spirit says that's the best example that was on this earth of all the love that was given, and yet she had a hard time receiving because she didn't love herself. With millions and millions of people that said, I love you, it still wouldn't fill that small hole in her heart that says, I'm no good. I don't think I love myself. This person didn't love me for what I am. So in other words, using that duality thinking that I have to either get love or not, and that isn't the case. So when we can only send love, and if we get it, that's fine, that's great, but it shouldn't be your barometer. I mean, look at, I see people on Facebook all the time when they do a post, and sometimes I'll watch the feed. 60 people have said, oh, I love that you lost 20 pounds. Good for you. You could do this. Oh, that's awesome. You look beautiful. And every single comment is the person that posted, and they're saying, oh, thank you so much. Oh, it was nothing. I had a lot of hard work. And they went on and on. How would you respond to 60 people? You have time to respond to 60 people? I have a hard time responding to 11 emails. But some people will get thousands of outpouring of if something goes viral. How are you supposed to respond to 200,000 people? And the other question is, even if you can, which I think is impossible to respond to that many people, even if you can, let's say, have a computer program that can respond to them all, what is missing in your heart that you have to say thank you to someone that just said, I love you? They weren't asking for it back. They just sent it. And that's the point. You're just sending love. You send love to your kids. You send love to your neighbor. You send love to all these people, and you don't expect anything in return. What that does, it's a guarantee that you'll stay happy. It is that string that is attached there that they didn't send love back. And we can't control other people. We can only control what we do. If you're sending love and nobody sends it back, that's okay. That's not why you came onto this earth. Like, you didn't look down on the earth to say to Spirit, okay, I'm going to go down there and find out how many people that are going to love me. That was never an issue, ever. None of our lives ever is that in your destiny. And I can say that with a high degree of confidence. Because in the years I've been doing this, Spirit has never said that we come on here to be a popularity thing. Because we know that's connected to ego. That's connected to what our mind wants to hear. That's not why we're here. How much love? And Buddha says it in so many ways. Did you live? Did you love? And would you go back? It didn't say how many Facebook likes did you have, or how many people loved you. It doesn't matter. And this is where people get caught up. If a person, let's say, was adopted and going to new parents, and there's always this, why did the person let me go? Maybe they didn't love me. We make a lot of assumptions when we are starving for that love, only to find out that maybe that's why they loved us so much that they couldn't take care of you as a child. They would almost starve you, knowing that if a rich family would take you on, you'd have a better life. How hard would a mother have to give up their child so they have a better... So there's actually more love there than you could possibly imagine. Because I can't imagine what it's like as a mother to give up a child. I can't imagine that. I'm just not there. But those are doing it. They're people that have to do that in that way. When we look at love, be very careful. We're just sending love. That's all we're doing in that respect. When you expect something in return, that's when we get caught up in that trap where I said I love you. You didn't say I love you back. Here's another thing that I've noticed about a spouse comes home on an oddball Tuesday. with flowers, that maybe he didn't have much money, and he stopped on the side of the road, and he just picked some flowers in the field or some lilacs in someone's tree, and he says, honey, here you go. I love you. And it's not a birthday. It's not an anniversary. She's touched. She just can't believe that I don't want nothing back. I just wanted to show my affection for today. That is amazing. Now, if a person has a hard time receiving, they say, why on earth would you just stop on the side of the road? And then they sort of poo-poo all of that down. And that I've seen that happen too. And it's a devastating for the person that gave the gift, because he wasn't asking for it back, and now he's being told he should not do it. But the point is do things for no reason and don't expect anything in return. You just simply give love and just be yourself. That way it's insurance policy that you will always be happy. When you don't feel comfortable doing it, then you don't do it. It's as simple as that. You trust everybody, but when they ask you for something, that's when you dip into your intuition and your energy will say yes or no. Trust this person right now or not. It's not people that are untrustworthy. It's where they are right now. Maybe 2 years ago, they were maybe in a dark place and they would have done anything and said anything to get money from you and never pay you back. But 2 years have gone by and they've evolved. They're now in a point that, okay, I've made some mistakes, but now I need help. And then you dip in and says, okay, now I can trust you because you're in a different light. All right. So you're not stereo. We're not saying this person is right, this person's wrong. Just that at this moment, the situation isn't right. That's different. We never plug people. The other thing about it is about the duality. When on with this one interview with Marvel Comics, when they did this movie, they were talking about ghosts and monsters. I get quite a few children coming in for sessions as well. And one of the things that is, of course, on their mind is the monsters in the dark. What do I do with the monsters in the dark? I have a monster in my closet. So how do I deal with that? So again, the duality type of approach to that would be run. Just run. Just get away from it. Get the heck out of there. Because it's scary. It could hurt you. But what Spirit says, when you look at it from an intensities perspective, the child is of absolute white light. It's not the monster that the child is fearing. It's the fear in his mind that he's more afraid of. The monster is just the vehicle, right? And the monster could be anything. A monster could be maybe a person would fall off a swing and hurt themselves and see the swing as, no, that's no good. That's like a monster. I got hurt on that swing. It's whatever the vehicle is. Of course, Hollywood has painted a very clear picture of what a villain is like. And it's very high action, special effects, makes it so that it is scary. That's the point. But to look at a child, how do I get a past this monster? What do I do? The first thing that Spirit says every time they've said this in the many years I've been doing this is you run towards the monster, go right through it. Because the monster is of low intensity and you are high intensity. The light will go through anything. Buffaloes know this as well. In their many centuries of evolution or thousands of years of evolution, the buffalo has always hated water. It hates the rain. They're out in the open area, and when they see storm clouds, they hate that. They know water's coming. And so they know from evolution that they head straight for the dark clouds, all of them, the whole herd. And they teach the young ones to do the same. They're going to go straight through the dark clouds and get rained on. But they also know that they can't outrun the rainstorm. If they go in the opposite direction, they're going at the same direction as the dark clouds. They get wet longer. They're in the storm longer. You can't outrun it. But they know from habit and from the various evolutions that going through the rain, you get to the other side faster because it's going in the opposite direction. So in other words, you hate something so much, you're going to run right through it. It's not the fear. They just know that that's the best way to address a situation, is to go right through it, because it is that high vibration. So that's what I would always say to a child. The latest one I got was a wolf was chasing this child and ended up, just before they woke up screaming, the wolf was jumping almost on them, and then they woke up in terror. By the time they came to us, the question was asked, in your dreams, all the times you've been dreaming about this wolf chasing you and you're trying to run from it and it's gaining on you, it never did really get you, right? Oh, yes, it did. I says, well, no, because you said that just before it jumps on you, then you wake up. But in your dream, it doesn't get you, correct? And the child has to think for a moment. He says, oh, yes, he doesn't get me, but almost did. He says, okay, the next time you're dreaming, there's a point in there that you're going to start waking up because you're so scared of this wolf. What I want you to do, little Johnny, is I want you to turn around and go towards the wolf and try and hug it. He says, oh, no, I'm going to get pounced on. He says, no, you won't, because your grandfather, he passed away about 10 years ago. Your grandfather's going to be right beside you, and he's going to help you. What happened is, in the next time the child was dreaming, the child did that. And thank the Lord that he listened to exactly what we said. He turned around in his dream because he was half awake and half asleep. And you can manipulate your dreams to do what you want because you have some degree of control. You turn around and he walked towards the wolf and hugged it, and it turned into a bunny. And or turned into another thing in another night, or a butterfly or something. Because as soon as you walk right through it, you're such high vibration of love that nothing can penetrate that. And he never had terror dreams again, because again, he developed a spiritual reputation. He is learning to work with energy. Instead of doing it through more sleep and diet and other things, what's happening is this energy is playing with this child. In doing that, you have to play along with their rules. And the rule is, you're in charge. It just doesn't want you to know that. It knows you're in charge, but wants to give you the idea that it doesn't. That's one way you can work with this duality part, is just go straight for whatever the issue is. Don't run from anything. Go straight through it. Have you ever heard the term rise in love? When you're going out with somebody and you feel that the love is starting to build, that is there a rise in love? Or people, do they say, I fell in love? You fall in love. And that's more accurate to what Spirit is saying. When we fall in love, there is a degree of surrender. I have to surrender myself that someone's going to catch me. Right? There's that surrender. It isn't through aggression or assertion that we get into love. It's that we fall into it, and we do it willingly again and again until the person that sees what we're trying to do is loving us as well. But it's all about how we love ourselves, and that person might love that you do that. That's why they're falling in love. Try and hold back this fall. I mean, any kind of a fall that you do, imagine holding yourself back. Years ago, I read an article that a person came out of a bar, and he was sauced, basically. And he had to walk home. And he had to go through this one part where there was a ravine and fell. And he went over head over heels right to the bottom of this hill. And a normal, average, well, healthy person would have died. But because he was intoxicated, he was so loose and he just sort of let himself fall. He survived and he ended up getting up and limped home. So that taught me that when you just let yourself go, you're very loose and nimble. But as soon as you hold off, and you say, oh, I'm falling, and you hold back, that's when you start breaking bones and cartilages, and you really start hurting yourself when you tighten up, because you don't want to fall. You're holding back. That's when you really hurt yourself. That's one thing that when you are getting into this love thing, you just go all in. Don't go half in or 80% in. Just go all in, because you're doing it for the experience and the lessons. You're not doing it for success or failure. And it's that success or failure that's the duality. That's why darkness really doesn't exist. There's no source of darkness. There's only light or no light. That's it. And when we look at it that way, we can say, well, I can't really lose. Even if this person isn't the one, I still felt something. I still gave love. They didn't want to accept it. That's okay. I'll give love to the next person and the person after that. But when we carry all that baggage, it gets a little heavy, doesn't it? Those of you that know what I'm talking about, it does get heavy. And somewhere along the way, it's got to go. And if you hang on to it, then there's going to be things on your health that'll show you to let it go even more. Do this meditation. And what we're going to do is we're going to do exactly what Spirit has told us we are here to do. And that is to be yourself and to send love or to give love. So I want you to be able to give love in the most purest way. And that's to give it back to Spirit. Years ago, when I was just getting into connecting in a deeper way, at one point, I said to this spirit that, you know, thank you so much. I know I love you. And I was so sincere that I would have just broken down if I hadn't said anything. And I said, I really love you. And there was a surprise from Spirit. And I said, you look surprised. He says, yeah, we normally don't get a lot of love back because we send everything and we're doing this for a lot of people. And so we don't normally get this, but thank you. That's what Spirit is saying. When we send love back in that purest way that they're sending it, it's very good. So if you have a grandmother that passed away a long time ago, or a grandfather, or a spouse, or a sibling, or someone that you might have known, they're on the other side. I want you to, in this meditation, send your love to them. If you've said thank you, you know they're there. Even a pet. If you have a pet that had passed away recently or at some time, and you want to say that, you know, I love you because I can still feel you here. This is going to be about an 18 and a half minute meditation. It's exactly 1,111 seconds. Was that on purpose? I want you to be able to, in that process, send love to Spirit. So send it to God, send it to your archangel, Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, any of your angels, guardian angels, any of your ancestors that you might know, grandfather, that kind of thing. I want you to send that love and not expect anything to come back, but see what might come back if anything does. Not that we're connecting to it, okay? And because this thing, it might be long enough, you might be able to go through everybody. I want you to send that energy in the second phase to them and send it to somebody on earth that's going through a hard time. So in other words, I'll send it to, let's say, my dad, okay? Here's the one example. He died a number of years ago. I says, okay, Dad, I love you. Could you send this love to John? He's not feeling too good. He's a little down. He's going through some health issues. Could you send that? I could send it, but now we're doing it in a different way, where we're sending it to Spirit, and they're just passing it down in its purest form to someone that you know that might need a little help while they're down here. They could go through depression, anxiety. They may be going through some health issues. Whatever's going on with that person, and just send this love and you are expecting nothing back. Okay, is that clear? Some people will send it and they'll see green energy, but if you see only white, that's okay. Just send whatever that you can. The color is green today, but you send whatever that you're feeling. So get yourself comfortable. Take a couple of big, deep breaths of this emerald green energy, beautiful green energy.
Thank you.
thank you for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out to his Facebook group at Janus Shields Natural Healing Center or group tuning classes with Tony on his online virtual weekly classes. The YouTube channel is Suzanne and Tony 17. That's Suzanne and Tony, all one word and the number 17. And the website is lovehigherself.com. Until next time, namaste.
Hey there. If you like this show, I want you to text someone right now that you think needs to hear this episode. If they are going through a tough time and they need some inspiration, let them know by sending them a link to this podcast. Let me know how it goes to see if it helped them. All the best.